This morning we started a new series on the life of Joseph, and just a bit of an introduction to him. And as I've been looking at the book of Genesis and looking at Joseph, never realised before that Moses gives quite a lot of time to Joseph, even more than Abraham. Tonight is a little bit different. Tonight we're going to be looking and starting a series on God the Holy Spirit. What I want to do, and the purpose of this, is to pull apart and maybe stretch some of our thinking, what we've been taught over the years, and then hopefully put it all back together again. That might sound a bit bizarre, but there's always much more to learn of God, the Holy Spirit, and who He is and what He's doing, and how all that involves us. Because I think in this church alone, we might have maybe four or five views of who He is and what He's doing. So anyway, it'll be interesting. I'm just going to ask Sylvia if she'll just put up the first one. Just God, the Holy Spirit. There's many views and people comment on God, the Holy Spirit. They say that it's a force or an influence or even an it. And yet He is God the Holy Spirit. I always refer to Him as God the Holy Spirit, as we look at God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And Jesus in John 14 and 15 speaks about He and the Father coming and making His home in a person by His Spirit. So it's involving the whole Trinity. I remember in Bible college, we had these memory verses. We had about 333 memory verses to do. And they would give you packs of 25. And you had to recite them off. And then you had to recite another 25. Then you had to do the whole 50. And these were called doctrine packs. And a lot of people hated doctrine. But without doctrine, we wouldn't really know what we would believe and why we would believe what we believe. But it's all to do with what God says in his word. I want to start this evening by asking you a question. And it's a question that someone asked me a few years ago. Okay. Are you ready? Brace yourself. No, it's not a big one. Somebody said to me a while ago, "What does the Holy Spirit mean to you?" And I just want you to hold that. What does the Holy Spirit mean to you? Now, when this person asked me this question, I come back with all the biblical stuff because I've just done it in these doctrine paths. He convicts, He fills, He guides, He leads, He speaks, He reveals Jesus, He reveals truth, He imparts wisdom, etc., etc. And this guy said to me, no. I know all that. You know all that. But what does He mean to you? And I've never heard that kind of question before. Two well-known speakers were talking, and one of them said to the other speaker as they were leaving, he said, "By the way, brother, stay open to the Holy Spirit." And the guy said, "I don't know what you mean by that." And so there's many, many views, and many views are tight, and some of them are really extreme. And so these next, I think it's about 8 weeks, I want us to really explore and look at what the Holy Spirit says about Himself. Every true Christian has the Holy Spirit. You'll find that in Romans chapter 8. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says that we don't lack any spiritual gift. This is what it says. It says, "Therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed." Then in Ephesians chapter 1, it says that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Yeah, is everybody agreeing with that so far? Okay, but in 1 Corinthians 12, now I know that Paul's dealing with different churches. It's the New Testament church. But in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul said, "Eagerly desire the greater gifts," which kind of shows that not everything is available and ready there and then and here and now. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, Paul encourages for the church to be filled with the Spirit, which might actually indicate that at some point they weren't or they're not. So again, this is just getting the juices going. It's just another introduction, just like we did this morning to the life of Joseph. It's an introduction to where we're heading and what we're doing. Just, Sylvie, if you can just put up the other ones. Okay, these are some of the sermon titles. Number one, it's Brim It. Put It All Over, Please. Outside Our Comfort Zone, Don't Smother Me. Now that hurt. So we're going to be going through, there's about another two things to add on to that, just regarding the titles of what we're going to be looking at regarding God, the Holy Spirit. So in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, Paul encouraged them to be filled with the Spirit, even though they were blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So it's one thing for the Holy Spirit to open our hearts and our understanding of him, but it's another thing for us to be open to him. Hebrew believers, chapter 5 and verse 11, this is what it says. We have many things to say to you, but going to take some time doing so because you're hearing. It's all right. Angie's well ahead here. You can put it onto them and I'll hear it then. But it Hebrew believers, chapter 5, verse 11, it says, we have many things to say to you, but going to take some time doing so because your hearing isn't what it used to be. So I kind of looked at this in the Greek. It's becoming hard of hearing. They have become so close to the point of not even being able to hear God anymore. These are believers within the church. So this is where sometimes we can get Christians, and maybe sometimes us ourselves, is that we know stuff, we quote stuff, we are so right in what we say, but we are so dead right. In other words, we're right, but we're dead. And these Hebrew believers, they kind of knew stuff, but here what it's saying is that they become so deaf, they really couldn't hear God anymore. And a deaf person doesn't know what's going on. They're out of the conversation, out of the loop, and out of action. But before we kind of go on, and especially moving into next week, we've got to believe God's word. Because if we don't really believe what God says about the Holy Spirit, we'll just form our own opinion about A, B, and C. So we've got to really go to God and his word to see what the Holy Spirit has recorded and said about himself. I think we might just have another one. What's the other one? Here we go. If we can just leave that one up just for a moment. The Bible is no mere book. I'm just quoting from a few people. The Bible is no mere book, but a living creature with a power that conquers all that oppose it. That's Napoleon Bonaparte. All human discoveries seem to be made only for the purpose of confirming more and more the truths contained in the sacred scriptures. That were a guy called Sir William Herschel, an English astronomer. And then Queen Victoria said this, that book accounts for the supremacy of England. Wow. So what does it mean to really believe in the Bible? Because if we don't really believe in who God says that his word is, then we'll pick and choose what we want to believe and what we want to hear and what we want to live. And it talks about that all scripture is inspired by God for reproof, for correction, for instruction. I was just intrigued by this. Oprah Winfrey asked a question on national TV about homosexuality. Americans increasingly in favor of gay marriage and gun rights. This article says that 40% of those surveyed favor gay marriages, while 43% oppose. Oprah is one of the most beloved women in the world, and whether or not we watch her is beside the point, but millions of people hang on her every word. And it's how do we communicate the essence of the biblical viewpoint in just a few sentences when the cameras are rolling? So she pulled on to her show a kind of famous pastor. And this is what he said as she asked the question, what is your view regarding a gay marriage? And he said this, I'm not called to give my opinion. I'm called as a pastor to give the scriptural position on it. Doesn't mean that I have to agree with you to love you. I don't dislike anybody. I love everybody. And then he expanded. He says, I think that sex between two people of the same sex is condemned in scripture. And as long as it is condemned in the scriptures, I don't get to say what I think. I get to say what the Bible says. I'm not called to give my opinion. Wow. How do we know that the Bible is the word of God? It's usually by the witness of the Holy Spirit within us. I'm sure you've heard these phrases before. They're old ones, but I still think they're really, really great and powerful. The word of God without the Spirit of God, we will dry up. Because without the Holy Spirit of God, you and I can very, very easily interpret it ourselves. And yeah, we just put a human touch to it. It says, the Holy Spirit of God, without the word of God, we will blow up. In other words, we'll just live on experiences. But the word of God, with the Holy Spirit of God, you and I will grow up. I'm sure that all of us have heard that statement, but I think there's a lot of truth in that. Psalm 138, what I'm going to be doing tonight, and it's not going to be long, again, it's just an introduction, is looking at a part of the word of God and the Spirit of God and how they actually work together. Psalm 138, verse 2, you want to take notes or jot it down on your phone. It says these words, you have magnified your word above your name. If you've got a Bible, you can flick through it or keep your thumb in it. And in Matthew 24, Jesus said that David's psalms, or this word, were by the Spirit. And it talks about this in Psalm 19. It came from David's anointing. It talks about this, God sees, David saw God magnifying his word above his name. Why on earth would David do this? Because of what God says about himself and what he promises to do. This morning I referred to something regarding in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 3, verse 12, talking about when Peter and John were on the way to the temple and this miracle happened in Jesus' name. Peter never drew any attention to himself, but he pointed to the power of God in Jesus' name. We've got preachers and teachers and miracle workers that were all pointing to themselves. And yet here, as we looked at this morning, Peter, he refers to God. He says, why on earth are you looking at us? It's nothing to do with us. It's God. But he uses the name of Jesus. And in Acts chapter 3, he kind of points to the God of Abraham, to the God of Isaac, and to the God of Jacob, which is a really fascinating kind of passage of why he did it and why he did the miracle, why he was prompted to do it in the Holy Spirit, and also why he referred back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In Exodus chapter 6 and verse 3, it says that God didn't make his name known to them fully. And I thought, wow, the name of the Lord. So here's David writing about the name of the Lord being Spirit-led, where you and I can read all this now. But the name of the Lord, it'd been like a smokescreen to all these Old Testament patriots. But it was first revealed to Moses. And when it was first revealed to Moses was known for signs and wonders. So there's a link here now with the name of the Lord and signs and wonders. Now, 400 years before that, God revealed salvation to Abraham. So signs and wonders. Wow, this is just, I'm looking at the name. Genesis chapter 15. Salvation were revealed to Abraham, but the name of the Lord was first revealed to Moses. And you'll find Paul referring to this in Galatians chapter 3. How did God reveal himself to Abraham? He revealed himself to Abraham through his word. Romans chapter 10, verses 8 and 9. Can someone just maybe stand and read these? Romans chapter 10, verses 8 and 9. And if somebody else can be ready with verse 14 of that same chapter. Don't be shy. looking at the power of God's word, the power of God's name, the power of God's spirit, and it all kind of links in. And you'll be wondering, where on earth am I going with all this? But it's just to set things out before we kind of move on. Yeah, go for it, Bill. Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
Romans 10, verse 8 and 9, that's it.
Yep.
But what does it say? The word is near to you, is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Thank you. How many people have heard that over the years? The power of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Can someone read verse 14, please, of that same chapter?
How then shall they call on him from whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him from whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher?
There we go. How shall we hear without a preacher? Faith comes by hearing. And the Holy Spirit is involved in all this, because without him, we couldn't work it all out. Things have to be revealed. Now, that message can be preached, it can be shared, it can be prayed. Going back to Moses, Moses knew God's power and anointing, and he knew the name of the Lord. But now as we look at Acts chapter 3, I want you to think about this, because Peter knows all this. He knows about Moses, and he knows about Abraham, and he knows about the word of God, and he knows about the power of God's word and God's spirit. But in Acts chapter 3, verse 16, as this man is asking for alms and money, this is what Peter said. I don't have silver and gold, but what I have you, I give you. And in the name of Jesus. So there's power here in the name of Jesus. And it's linked into the word of God and by his spirit. The prompting of the Holy Spirit for him to speak this and to do what he did. I don't have silver and gold, but what I have you, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Faith in the name of Jesus. What am I getting at? I'm getting at this. The gospel is complete without signs and wonders. The Bible isn't. And we'll often read about the Holy Spirit doing great things through the apostles, through believers, through prophets. Not just the speaking, but miraculous stuff. And so again, this is just an introduction, not to spoil our view, but to either stretch it or condense it to get a proper view of what God is saying about his spirit. So God's name is linked in to signs and wonders. I just want you to listen to what someone said. A person's integrity is usually about a person's word. You can count upon that person because of what they say. You can trust a person's word, and you can trust a person's name. Your name is only as good as your word, and if you don't keep your word, you won't have a good name. So in other words, when you and I read our Bible, you and I know that we can actually walk in it, we can stand upon it, we can believe it, because it is the word of God, and God's not going to let us down, because his name is in it, the power of the name of God. This is where Moses, he was the one who did signs and wonders. And both these things, the salvation and the signs of wonders, all fall into the book of Acts and all into the New Testament. And especially when we see it in Jesus, in Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, often referring to God, the Holy Spirit. So signs, wonders, miracles were first spoken and seen and tasted through Moses. And yet in Exodus 6, God wants his word magnified above all these. Wow, isn't that incredible? Exodus chapter 6, God wants his word magnified above these things. So salvation is more important than miracles. Amen? We would agree with that. Okay. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 44, he said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that it is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Wow, everything that's been said, everything that's been recorded and written for us by the Holy Spirit, God is carefully watching and guarding every word he speaks. And I want to kind of push that on us. Every word, not just words that, well, I don't agree with that and I don't agree with this and I get that and I'll accept that. Every word of God, all scripture is inspired by God. Everyone. Not too long ago, I was talking to someone and we were looking at a passage. And in this passage, I think it's 1 Timothy 4. I think right at the end, it talks about a woman can be saved in childbirth. And we were kind of discussing this certain passage. And I was talking to this guy, and I said, well, what do you think to that regarding your denomination? And he says, well, it says a woman can only be saved in childbirth. And then we kind of went back, and I said, well, what do you think to that verse then, just above it? He says, well, we don't believe in that now. And I says, okay, well, what do you believe in that verse above that? And he says, I don't really know, I'm not quite sure. I said, okay, what about that verse above that? He says, oh, we believe in that one. And I said to him, is that how the Apostle Paul wrote it? And I said, what are we doing here? I said, we're all guilty of it. We pick and we choose what fits into our thinking, what even fits into our denomination. But Paul didn't write stuff like that. He kind of wrote it right through. Listen to this. God is guarding every word he speaks. So in other words, I'm saying, and this is really challenging, is when God speaks, he speaks. And there's power in Jesus' name. And the Holy Spirit has recorded everything for us. Listen to Acts chapter 3 and verse 10. It says that they were filled with wonder and amazement. This is when this miracle had happened. This is when the Holy Spirit had prompted Peter. Do them things still happen today? Here we go, Luke chapter 9. When Jesus healed a boy with an evil spirit, it says this about the people. They were all amazed at the greatness of God. And the exact same word in Greek is ekpleso, which is used to describe the effect of Jesus' teaching in Matthew chapter 5 regarding the Beatitudes. This is what it says after Jesus had finished. They were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one having authority. So in other words, Jesus could amaze people by his word and teaching as well as by signs and wonders. They kind of go together. Matthew 22, when he put the Sadducees in their place, it says the crowds were astonished. So just kind of picture this. If you're thinking about the teaching of Jesus, if you're thinking about a miracle, the people had the same response. They were actually amazed at both things as what he did, which kind of tells me that God is still doing that now. Holy Spirit and the Word of God. I think what we do and what we tend to do is until we become more open to the Holy Spirit, as we read the Word of God, there's a danger that we interpret it so that, well, I'm kind of in control of that and I see it like this and somebody else sees it like that and somebody else sees it like that, and it's coming to God saying, Lord, what do you want to teach me? Where do you want to stretch me? And it's the Holy Spirit of God and really being open to him. And so over these next few weeks, I want to explore some of the maybe reserved views of the Holy Spirit. I want us to look right over into the extreme views of the Holy Spirit and everything in between, and kind of get a healthy view and a healthy look and a belief system of God, the Holy Spirit. Again, this is just an introduction. And I'm going to leave it right there. I don't think we need to be afraid that there's power in the name of Jesus, there's power in the Word of God, and there's power in God, the Holy Spirit. And I think that for me, it's just becoming more healthy as we kind of grow and we get to know more about who God, the Holy Spirit, is. So just before we sing our closing song, let's just pray. Let's just be really honest with God and ask him and say, Lord, would you reveal more of yourself to me? Would you give me a greater understanding of your word and of your spirit and how that affects my life, how that affects what I'm going to be doing this week? It affects how I walk with you. So would you stretch us, Lord? Would you stretch our faith? Would you speak to us in new ways through your word and by your spirit? Father, we are excited of just the privilege of knowing you. And we pray that, Lord, as the Apostle Paul, as you laid hold of him, he laid hold of you. And we want to do that, Lord, in this new year. As you lay hold of us, that we would lay hold of you. Father God, we pray this in the lovely name of the risen Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's stand and sing our closing song.